welcome everyone listening to Blog Talk Radio this morning.
Preparing you for the second coming of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Back to the land the second time, That would be a sign to the nations of the world. And that second time happened. The first time was after the Babylonian captivity, 586 B.C. And the second time was in 1948, after 1,878 years of the Jews being scattered across the face of the earth. I don't know how anybody would doubt the Bible is the inspired word of God. Bible prophecy is not like Nostradamus or anything else. It is not vague. It is very, very, very specific. And you're going to find out that the next events that are to happen in Bible prophecy, one of them, I don't know which will happen first, but the next events will be a peace treaty between Israel and the Palestinians and probably other Arab nations, but the peace treaty will divide the land of Israel, just like Joel chapter 3 says. Joel chapter 3 says, when they part my land, that is what brings on Armageddon. And that is being discussed right now and pushed in the UN as we speak to make that happen very soon, okay? Can I say when they're going to do it? No, I cannot. But I'm telling you, I've never seen in the 30 years of studying this and really longer than that, because I started studying this stuff when I was a kid. So I can go back to the, I can say I've been looking at Bible prophecy and reading stuff when I was 8 and 9 years old. I remember that. So we're talking about really about 40 years of this, okay? So it's never been, I'm telling you, it's never been like this before. You've got that going on. On top of everything, see, and I believe this very clearly, I believe that the United Nations is the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns that was prophesied to come up out of the sea and be the end time world government. What's interesting is it has morphed into just that. Alright? With the 5 members of the Security Council, okay? Plus Germany now. That's the P5 plus one. You've heard that in the news, right? Plus the head of the European Union. 7 heads. And then there's 10 nations that sit under them that rotate, a constant 10 that rotate. It's exactly what the Bible said. 7 heads, 10 horns. It was a morphing of these beasts together, meaning uniting the beast of our nations, a uniting of nations. So the United Nations was foretold in the Bible. It is the beast world government. And the Bible says that the kings of the earth will give their power and strength to the beast. That just happened in May. In May, there was this thing called the Kigali Protocol or Principles, 18 pledges signed on now by 29 nations, including the United States, to give the UN authority to use military force and police force in any nation they deem that is not treating their civilians as they see fit. Okay? We're hearing the Bible saying the kings of the earth will give their power and strength to the beast. And also within those 18 pledges, it says that the beast or the nations, if the UN deems that they need the resources of the nations, they need helicopters or tanks or planes, or they can commandeer any of our military apparatus and use it. That's why Revelation 13 says, as this beast comes up out of the sea having 7 heads and 10 horns, it says, who will be able to make war with this beast? Because it's going to use all the nation's resources that will sign on to this to fight anyone who will not submit. Right now, the greatest nation in the way of that is not the traitors within the U.S. government, but the American people. We're the greatest hindrance to this United Nations beast is the American people, or any people really that want to be free. And it's happening. You know, I think one of the things, one of the reasons that I'm so, my spirit, I'm so heavy and I'm so, feel this weight of sorrow and sadness, because I guess I'm just still so shocked at how many people, even so many Christians that say they believe the Bible, don't see this. They don't get what's happening around them. They don't understand what is going down. I mean, they see what happened in France or California, San Bernardino or Orlando, and they don't understand that, it hasn't come to this city yet. That it's almost like we have this disconnect, that it's not real. Christianity is almost, and I want to say Christianity, I mean Christians, have almost been exterminated completely from Syria and Iraq. You hear that? And we Americans actually think we're going to get raptured out of here before, because we're somehow special, more special than the Syrian Christians or the Egyptian Christians or the Iraqi Christians. It's just really ridiculous. I still don't think, even those of you that sit in here, those of you that listen to us regularly, I mean, we have people listen all over the world. I still don't think you really realize how late the hour is now. And when this trigger gets pulled fully, I think many Christians and many people, particularly many Americans, are going to still be completely caught off guard by how quickly everything changes. It's going to be dramatic as we shift into this, because the UN, the traitors within our government, both Democrat and Republican, Obama's, the Bush family, the Clintons, all of them, we've been sold out, and they're working this behind the scenes, and I believe that before this election, they have got to pull out all the stops to stop this next election. Something is going to happen. That's kind of crazy, but that fits that. But Turkey, let's get to that. Turkey is foretold in the Bible. Let's hold this spot in Revelation 9. We'll come back to that in just a second. Go to Ezekiel 38. I promise you, we'll come right back to Revelation 9. Ezekiel, there's one thing beautiful about the Bible. Almost everything that's prophesied in the Bible, you can find in both Old Testament and the New Testament. Almost everything. Ezekiel 38 talks about the last days, and Israel will be brought back, and it talks about the players that would end up coming against Israel. Now, I believe that some people believe the Ezekiel 38-39 war, Gog and Magog war, as it's called. A lot of people believe that's Armageddon. It is not. A lot of people are going to believe that the Sixth Trumpet War is Armageddon, but the Sixth Trumpet War is different because Armageddon happens at the Seventh. Okay? Two different time periods, two different instances. All right? Ezekiel 38 says this, "And the word of the Lord," this is verse 1, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and I will put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, and horses, and horsemen, and all them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company, with bucklers and shields, and all of them having swords. Persia, which is now called Iran, Ethiopia, which includes the Sudan now, Libya with them, and all them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his bands in the house of Togarmah," remember that, "of the north quarters and all his bands, and many people with thee. Be thou prepared, and prepare thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee, and be thou a guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited." Then he tells us when this is going to happen. "In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and gathered out of many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but it is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And thou shalt ascend," this is interesting, this is before airplanes, "thou shalt ascend and come like a storm in the air," right? "Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land and all thy bands and many people with thee." Now, I'm not going to keep reading this. I want to jump over and look at verse 39. chapter 39. We're going to look at verse 1 because I want to show you why this is not Armageddon. Okay? Armageddon is just a battle, one day. This is a war that takes a little while. Alright? Now, some of your translations, if you don't have a King James translation, this verse is not going to appear. So we need to get you a Zane translation. I don't care if that offends people. I don't have time to deal with that. Alright? It's not a matter of the name of the Bible, it's a matter of the text it was translated from. Okay? I know what text that this was translated from, and I know what text the NIV and the NAS and everything else is translated from, and that's why they're different. Okay? So we don't have time for that. But if this verse is not in the Bible, get one that has it. Alright? He says, verse 1, therefore, thou son of man, prophesy against God and say, thus saith the Lord God, because behold, I am against thee, O God, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Look at verse 2. I will turn thee back and leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts and bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I will smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. And thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that are with thee. And I will give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, to the beasts of the field, to be devoured. And he says, I will send a fire on Magog in verse 6. Now, the reason I say that this right here is not the Battle of Armageddon, because at the Battle of Armageddon, every soldier, every army that comes against Jerusalem, that comes against Jesus Christ in that battle, will be wiped out completely. There will not be one sick left. Okay? Go read it. You can read it in Revelation 19 and so forth. Jesus will kill them all with the sword coming out of his mouth. The blood will run to the horse's bridle level, it says, through the kingdom of God. Alright? The serious death. But this right here talks about thou will leave a sixth of them. They will die on the mountains of Israel by fire. Alright? Now, let's go back to chapter 38 real quick and break this down. There are those out there falsely teaching that Gog and Magog is not Russia. I have news for you. Okay? Both Josephus, ancient historians, archaeology, and even the equivalent of the Smithsonian in Red Square says that the ancient Russians were the Magogites, who the Greeks called the Scythians. This is historical, archaeological fact. Okay? Even the Russians say, we are the descendants of the ancient Scythians, which was the Greek name for the Magogites. So Gog, I believe whoever will be the leader of Russia at this time, probably Vladimir Putin, is Gog. And Russia is Magog, the land of Magog. Right? It says they were joined with Persia, Iran. Now, since, you know, the early to mid-2000s, Iran and Russia have been working together. They've made multiple arms deals, pacts. It's the Russians that helped the Iranians build the Bushehr reactors. We wouldn't even have Iran close to making a nuclear bomb if it were not for Russia's help. That's fact. Russia is a strong, strong ally with Iran. You go back into ancient documents, you find out that really the Russians, the Magogites, migrated up into Russia, where Russia is now, from Iran. So there's a very ancient connection between the Russians and the Iranians. But that's your player. So you have Russia and Persia, Iran, Ethiopia, Libya, everybody knows where those are, Gomer and the house of Togarma. Gomer and the house of Togarma, that is now called Turkey. So Turkey will join with them. Anybody see anything that looks significant to all this? All these countries. This happened all through what? Primarily together, Muslim, right? Surrounded Israel. Okay. And another one, he says, and many others with you, and he talks about those in the north quarters. So I wanted you to see that. Now go with me to Revelation chapter 9. Because there's a war coming before Armageddon. Some call it World War III. That's fine if that's what you want to call it. The biblical term should be the sixth trumpet war. The peace treaty that's coming could either be before, you know, when 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon. Right? So it could be just them talking about the peace treaty and then the war, World War III begins, the sixth trumpet war. Or it could be they go ahead and sign it, and then it happens. I don't know. We'll have to see. That's one thing that's not clear, is how, when, which one's going to happen first. But they're going to happen. Now, this is what's disturbing here. Let's go read Revelation 9, the sixth trumpet, verse number 13. It says, and the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice of the four horns from the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. These are bad angels. Okay? These are fallen angels. It says, and the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, or 200 million. And I heard the number of them, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed by fire. Somebody say a third part of men killed by fire. And by smoke and by brimstone which issued out of their mouths, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails were like unto serpents, and their heads with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed with these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols and gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their theft. This is another sign here that this is not at the very end, this is not the Battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Jesus. Because this talks about time going on and men still not repenting. That this war, for the most part, the majority, they're still not turned from their fornication, their sorcery, their thefts, their sins. Even though God is allowing this as a judgment upon mankind, God doesn't bring war. Man brings war upon himself. God just steps back and let our true nature take its course, right? But what's interesting about this, he says, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Okay? Now, the Euphrates River, that's where it starts. Anybody know the geography? The Euphrates River starts in Turkey. That's its origin. It runs through Syria all the way through the country of Syria, all the way through the country of Iraq, and touches Iran for about 50 miles before it empties into the Persian Gulf. Four nations. Isn't it interesting? It says four angels in this. Four principalities, powers. I believe that are over these nations. Ancient fallen angels that rule these regions. They're going to be loosed. And when they are loosed, this war will begin. And all we know is that it has something to do, when this war begins, with those four countries, the Euphrates River, Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran. Now, what's interesting, all of those right now, Turkey, attempted coup, very unstable. Their president, a radical Muslim, hates Israel, right? Pretends to be an ally of the United States and pretends to be a NATO member, but they're not. They're not, you know, they are NATO members. Should never have happened. And we have a base there. We have a huge base there in Syria. right? I didn't know this until last night. You know, when this coup happened, President Erdogan is saying that some of the planes that were attacking him and trying to overthrow him flew out of our base. Now, he could be lying, or he could be telling the truth. Who knows? There's so much wag the dog going on here, right? But how many of you heard that they shut down the airspace over our base, they cut off power to our base, told it hostage? Anybody hear that? How many of you know that there's anywhere between 50 to 80 B-61 United States-made nuclear bombs on that base? Erdogan and Turkey, all they would have to do is invade and take that base, and they would become a nuclear power overnight. And Obama would do nothing, because he may be involved in this and starting this to hand over these nukes to his Islamic buddies. Because nuclear bombs are hard to make. Pakistan, just throw this little caveat in there, because they probably got about 100 nukes. Completely unstable country that at any moment an organized faction could take control of their nuclear weapon. Here's the nightmare scenario. Turkey, who's known now to be working with ISIS, Pakistan, the Taliban people, who have known to be sympathetic to ISIS as well. Let's say they get a hold of Pakistan's nuclear weapons, or our nuclear weapons, in Turkey. The Bible talks about a scenario of a war starting in the Middle East that will end up killing one-third of mankind. Can you do that without nuclear weapons? 2.3 billion people now. No. I see a scenario setting up that's very, very scary and very serious. Let me tell you, if I was president and Mr. Erdogan shut down my base in his country that had nuclear weapons and cut off power, it would be full invasion force. Turkey would cease to, let's just put it the way, their government would cease to exist as they know it, and I would have control of my base and my nuclear weapons. Very quickly, mind you. Though with Obama, he has a tremendous hatred for Israel. This may be a play, and I'm just saying maybe, I'm just throwing this out. This I don't know, but this could be a play to try to counter the fact that everyone knows that Israel probably has around 200 nukes. So maybe Obama, in his twisted mind, thinks he's trying to even things up, square things up, help his Islamic buddies out in the Middle East so they can destroy Israel. I don't know what's in his twisted mind. But I would not say that that could be, I don't think that's speculating too far when it comes to him, right? The man supported the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. Need we say more? And it's pretty much a proven fact now that him and Hillary, that they put ISIS to bed, trained them, sent weapons to them. Benghazi was all about shipping weapons to them in Syria. So it's a bad scenario happening. Now you couple that with, I can't tell you, when I began to share the prophetic dreams that God had been giving me, that he gave me in 2011, he gave me another one in 2012. I had one when I was 16 years old in 1984. No one do the math. But I have seen nuclear bombs going off in America. Recently, that's Tom Owen, Chris Putnam just put out their new book, The Last Roman Emperor. And they said that even Chris Putnam, who is a theologian and not really given to, you know, supernatural things, prophetic things. Said that he's had a dream of nuclear bombs going off in America. And when I began to share these things, people began to send me, and I'm talking about people, Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, non-Pentecostals. I mean, I had people from all over that I've had the same dream. America is in a great peril as we speak. The free world, the Western world. You know, I'm still in awe that the Prime Minister of France would say, we're just going to have to live with this after the truck master. I mean, you can better understand why in the Old Testament, not just the fact of the Nephilim genetic manipulation that was going on, and that some of the people groups that God had the Israelites wipe out were not fully human. But you can look and you can see why there would be groups of people, the Lord would just say, we can't even let them continue. Anybody that would take a semi-truck and drive it into a crowd of men, women, and children is subhuman, animal, demon-possessed, satanic, murderous religion. And folks, can I just say, it's not radical Islam. It's just Islam. I've read the verses in the Quran. I've read the verses in the Hadith. I've read and studied the examples of Muhammad that they are taught to follow. So any Muslim who says they're peaceful and they're not for jihad or killing the infidel is not a true Muslim. A true practicing Muslim is doing exactly what that guy in the truck or with guns or with knives. You can't make peace with someone who wants to kill you. There is no peace. It takes two parties to make peace. That's what Netanyahu has been trying to say all along. You can't make peace with somebody who keeps trying to blow you up. We live in a dangerous world. And I'm afraid that most people are just not ready. Christians are not ready. Americans, you know what blows my mind? All of this is happening. All of this is happening. Right? All over the world. Bangladesh, Pakistan, France, England, the U.S. Terrible. Mass murdering atrocities, primarily Muslims. Even Dallas, folks. Dallas, the guy, Nation of Islam. We act like we go on with our lives and we don't change anything. I'm telling you. My heart is heavy. What is it going to take? What is it going to take to make us pray like we ought to pray? What's it going to take to make us share the gospel with people and quit worrying about offending people, quit worrying about what people think about us, and just tell the truth? You know, I gave up worrying about several years ago. I completely gave up worrying about what people think about me. They can call me doom and gloom, prophet of doom, whatever they want to call me. All I know is this, Ezekiel, and I shared it last week, Ezekiel 33, says if you see the sword coming and you don't warn the people, then their blood is on your hands. Have you warned your family, your neighbors, the people you work with? They might end up being part of this one-third of mankind. I mean, I got people right now that when I see the Antichrist or the Mark of the Beast come, or whatever, when I see this, I'm going to get my life right with God. Well, you might not see it. It could be a flash, and you're gone. You're not going to make it all the way to the end. And you know what? You want me to tell you some of the craziest Christians out there? I mean, crazy. And these people are still believing and claiming to this pre-tribulation rapture thing, when you dare show them that's not the case, losing it, man. Can you imagine if they can't handle somebody challenging one of their doctrinal beliefs, what are they going to do when all this stuff is happening in their neighborhood, in their town? What are they going to do when it's take this chip in your hand and your forehead and you can't buy groceries for your family? Say, it's not the chip, it's not the mark of the beast, because we're supposed to be out of here. So let's take it. It's just another credit card. You know, the prayer of Jesus, John 17, isn't it verse 18? Jesus said this little prayer. I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. I mean, goodness, to be preacher of rapture, you got to believe that the Father's not going to answer that prayer. Right? Wait a minute, Pastor Dan. What about Revelation 3:10? Those that are faithful, I will keep thee from the hour of temptation that will come on all the world. Keep. Guess what? I looked it up in the Greek. Does it mean take out, guard, or protect, to keep the eye upon? As my wife pointed out the other day, why would God have to guard us or protect us if we're in heaven? 17:15, John 17:15. I pray not that you take them out of the world. You know, Pastor, it doesn't matter. Have a lady come off. This is funny. This is why I'm bringing this up, too. A lady come on my Facebook after I spelled this out, that there's no preacher of rapture. Why do I harp on this? So people will get ready for what they're going to have to go through. And you have to start preparing yourself spiritually, mentally, emotionally. You have got to get yourself ready in here that things aren't going to continue as they are. You better start thinking about, what am I going to do for food? What am I going to do for my family? How am I going to provide for my family? Oh, well, the Lord will take care of it. Now, you know what? The Lord said, look at the ant who prepares his food in the summer before the winter. He said, look to the ant. You sluggard, look. Noah still built the ark. Joseph still set back grain for the years of famine. That tell me it's not faith to prepare for what's coming? No, it's it. When this goes down in America, and it will, do you think people are going to be upset that they prepared too much? Do you think that's going to be the main complaint? And that's what I'm getting at. The modern church world in America is clueless. The pastors are the worst. They have not prepared their people to stand in this day of darkness and battle that's coming upon us. They've either told them, we're going to get out of here before any of this happens, or they've told them, you know what, that's not important. That's 50 years, 100 years from now. I absolutely hate, and yes, I said hate, and that makes a big difference. I hate modern, super sensitive, weak, watered down, mega church mentality. I can't stand it. Jesus didn't try to water everything down enough so he could get more people to follow. In fact, he said things that made people in the religious community want to kill him. Do you have any enemies in the Christian church world? If not, I dare say, you're not really preaching what they need to hear. If you don't have some family, and when I say family, I'm talking about Christians in your family that won't talk to you or deal with you. Jesus said, what? There'll be father against son, mother against daughter, father-in-law against son. Those are the truth of the Word of God. But see, there's a bunch of people out there, there's a bunch of pastors out there, they know how to dance through and not talk about anything that might be controversial. And it's monkey see, monkey do. That's why we got a bunch of Christians who are afraid to take a position, to talk about anything. Oh, unless you step on them little sacred cows. Go ahead and step on that man-made doctrine, twist it a little bit. Oh, they get to talking. Because this lady that came on, you know, when I talked about the, oh, it doesn't matter. Pre, mid, post, God's timing is perfect. I said, we got to prove to that, because of me. Because if you talk about the other side, all of a sudden it doesn't matter. If you bring up the opposite point, right? And so I pressed her a little bit, as I do. And I said, well, that's funny. I said, because God should have put it in there, so we'd know when it was. He would make it confusing. Jesus told us in Matthew 24, that immediately after the tribulation of those days is when the trumpet is blown, and it's just that of the elect. It's not confident. It's really not. I said, obviously, God wanted us to know when the rapture would happen in the midst of this darkness. He wanted this generation, the generation that would go through this, He wanted us to know we would go through it. Then all of a sudden, she started preaching her pre-trib doctrine to me. I said, oh, wait a minute ago, it didn't matter to you when it was. No, if you can't handle even the thought that you might have to suffer persecution for the name of Jesus. If you can't handle the fact that you might actually have to go through seeing the collapse of the United States. My great-grandmother, my great-aunts, my great-grandfather, one of them still alive now, went through World War I and the following Great Depression. They told me stories of having nothing. Go to the store? What store? With what? They said they were lucky enough, blessed enough, to have a cow, a milk cow. And they were able to say, to churn some of the milk and make butter, and they would take that butter and go trade it with the store that had, just had a little bit, had flour in there. They said that's how they survived. Picking berries and what they could plant and grow, and what my great grandfather could kill, but he had to be very careful because he only had so many bullets. So every bullet had to count for a meal. Americans, we had no clue what it was like for them to live through that. Say it can't happen again. I remember growing up and seeing them keep everything. And I understand why now. It's amazing because I moved into my great-grandfather's house. And all of that stuff's still there from the 1950s. They found honey stored. No, honey, real honey doesn't go bad, ever. Just jars of honey stored. Been there, had to live from the 50s and the 60s. Still taste all that? But I find stuff, tools, like screws and stuff. I'm using stuff they saved up. That amazing? We have no concept. We think we can run down to Ace Hardware or Home Depot or Lowe's. Did I say that? Listen. I don't know, folks. My heart's heavy. Something. I had this feeling the Sunday before 9/11. In fact, the Sunday before 9/11, 2 days before 9/11, September 9th, 2001, I'm preaching. I'm pastoring a church in Montgomery, Alabama. Preaching. My message that morning was the blessings of God. I wasn't talking about end time prophecy. I wasn't talking about judgment. I wasn't talking about Muslims or Islam or terrorist attacks. I was talking about the blessing of God on us. Right? Holy Spirit comes all over me, doing right in the middle of the message. I couldn't even, the words just said it out of my mouth. There'll be a terrorist attack. I'm watching the beast and that's it. I'm sitting there like I'm standing beside myself, looking at myself. What are you talking about? Had nothing to do with my message. Nothing, it wasn't on my mind. 2 days later, I had this weird sense of this foreboding feeling. Because earlier that year, the Lord told me that 2001 would be a year of tragedy. At the beginning of this year, He told me that this year would be a year of chaos. Everywhere. Look at Dallas. Look at France. Look at Turkey. Look at Syria. Look at Iraq. Look at Bangladesh. Pakistan. And I'm really worried about what's going to happen next week, and this week, and the following week. Very concerned. Jesus is our refuge and our strength, folks. But we have got to be the home of Him in this time. And I'm telling you, you need to warn people around you. And I don't care if they think you're crazy. Start warning people. So the pastor Dean, I don't know all this. I can't tell them all this. But let me tell you something. Start with what you know. Amen? And always bring it back to you must believe in Jesus Christ. You must confess Him as Lord. You must turn from your sin. You must give Him your life. You must believe He died on that cross and rose from the dead. If you don't believe that, I mean, and I'm not just talking about this. I'm not even saying the goal is to survive and stay alive. I mean, that should always be, you know, within our nature. Death is the enemy. But what I'm saying is if we're not ready for that, if we're not ready for eternity, that's a much bigger issue. And I just believe this with all my heart. Those who understand, Daniel said it, Daniel 11. He said, those who understand what's going on, what's happening, what's going to happen, will instruct many. And he said, they will turn many to righteousness. I do believe in the midst of this darkness, God said, Isaiah 60, one of my favorite passages, God gave it to me as a life verse back in January of 1989, I'll never forget it. The Holy Spirit came all over me. He said, behold, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people. He said, but my glory shall arise on my people. And my glory shall be seen upon my people. And then he said, the Gentiles, which represent people outside the covenant of God, he said, they'll be drawn to that light. Even teens will be drawn to that light. People are going to be saved in this dark hour, but it's going to be through people who are willing to tell them the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the Word of God, unashamed of what is written in the Scriptures on every subject that's in the Scriptures. You cannot be ashamed of Jesus and of His words. Amen? You don't know what truth. That's why I believe you preach the whole Bible, the whole thing. Because you don't know which truth is going to set this captive free. This other captive needs another truth in the Bible. This one needs another truth. This one has another question that needs to be answered. This one has another question that needs to be answered. Be ready. 1 Peter 3:15, be ready always to give an answer to every man of the reason of the hope that is in you. But different people need different answers. They have different questions. They have different doubts, different hang-ups, different sins that have a stronghold in their life. And we've got to give them the word of the truth, of the Bible, of Jesus, that will set them free. That's why you cannot be ashamed of any of it. I'm not ashamed that I speak in tongues. I'm not ashamed that I believe Jesus heals the sick. I'm not ashamed to say demons are real and the devil is real. I'm not ashamed to say this is the end time. It's going to happen. I'm not ashamed to say there is no pre-trib rapture. I'm not ashamed to say that giants were real and Nephilim were real. I'm not even ashamed to say, yes, I'm going to say the earth is really flat. Or if I assume the government of the world, they've lied to us about everything. God's word is true, and every man that would say anything contrary to what this book says is a liar. And I don't care how many CGI pictures he shows you at the building. NASA's pushing this space alien thing to the hilt right now. Let me tell you, anybody pushing the space alien thing, they are deceived and they are deceiving mankind. I'm not saying. Yes, the Bible teaches the earth is flat and covered by a dome. Yes, that's what the Bible teaches. And we went out to Mobile Bay and proved that it was flat. 13 miles. It's supposed to be 70 feet of curvature. We could see boats from Fairhope, Alabama, across the bay. We could see boats hull sitting in the water at 13 miles. There's no curve. It's flat. The Bible says it's flat. It says there is a solid, molten glass dome over it, and outside that are waters. There's no such thing as outer space. Oh, but wait a minute. I saw video from NASA. Really? It's all a lie, folks. God's word's true. Every last part of it. Oh, and let me tell you. Listen, I started preaching against the pre-trib rapture theory. And it's error. I said that in 1989. Were you guys even born in 89? No. I caught hell for that. Right? And then I came along. The old pastor being started preaching, yes, a Christian can have a demon in them. Doesn't mean they're totally possessed, but they don't have a bit of a stronghold in them, and they need to cast out. Oh, I caught hell for that. Huh? Now I've started preaching on end time prophecy as you know, a good focus of the ministry, because God said to do it in 2008. I caught hell for that. Huh? And now, we think I've lost it. And I'm telling them the earth is flat. Just like the Bible says. Right? But I don't care. Guess what? When I stand before God, one thing he will not be able to say to me, I'm not a perfect man, I tell you. Struggle with the flesh, struggle with sin. I'm impatient sometimes. I deal with getting angry sometimes. I want to smack people that are stupid sometimes. Honestly. Sometimes I don't want to come preach. I would rather just go lay on the beach and stick my head in the sand. Let me tell you, the sign of a good preacher is when he doesn't want to preach alone. The ones that always want to get up in front of everybody and be seen all the time. Sometimes I wish I could run away and not ever do this again. Matter of fact, I don't really think it's fit to be in a pulpit anywhere unless you really want to learn from it. Honestly, if you crave to be in it, something's wrong with you. It's by the grace of God that we can do anything. I was reading that again last night. I was reading 2 Peter last night. I love what he said. Paul said, you know what? God called us, those of us called to the fatherless, called to preach and teach. He said, God's called us, placed a holy calling there. He said, man, added this. I'm ready. Not because of works we have done, but because of his own purpose. and because it is theirs, not because we earned it. We don't earn anything. If God so chooses to do it in our lives, he does it. Not perfect people. I'll tell you right now, my righteousness does not come from my ability to try to be good. I try to do the right thing. I don't always do the right thing. But my righteousness only comes from that Jesus did for me. And my faith is in his blood, not in my ability to do it perfect every time. My faith is not in my ability to keep myself from slapping somebody stupid. I mean, y'all may hear it one day. Pastor doing slap the stupid out of somebody. Just bail me out and keep loving me. God's working on me, right? Good then. This is a time, you know, the book of Joel said there's a time that, he said, call a solemn assembly. You know what that means? We need to get serious as a group because serious things are going to happen. I can't believe this group that just met with Pope Francis. I better quit, so that's another sermon right there. I don't even know what time it is. You know what we used to call that right there? The Bible watch. I have no idea what time it is. Watch these places. Turkey, Syria, Iraq, Iran. Someone's going to get a hold of a nuclear weapon. The one spoke to me saying gas about a year ago. I see that. I've seen that in vision form happening in the city. I don't want these things to happen. I wish none of it happened. But I have a six-year-old. I don't want these things to happen. I have two other daughters growing up. I don't want them to live in a world like this. I wish it wasn't happening. I wish it was like it was in the 80s and the 90s. It was better. It was better then. Not good, not perfect, but better than it is now. Things aren't normal now. So, stock up, arm up, pray up, and get this in you. Oh, I know one of the things. I got sidetracked from. If you don't know some of this stuff, and really what I want to do here pretty soon, on our website at BeNormal.org, I want you to go to BeNormal.org. The latest word button up there, click on that. There's all these articles. There's not a bunch of them, but there's articles, most of them about end time Bible prophecy. Took me 30 years to figure out all this stuff. We don't have 30 years to try to figure it all out, all right? You disagree with me on some of it, whatever, but you need to learn. Listen, I'll say this. God taught me a lot of it just by study and reading. But I also learned from different ministers. Ministers that I didn't agree with them on everything, but I still learned from them. See what I'm saying? Don't act like you can't learn from somebody. I've learned from Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal. You know, I've learned from different people that I didn't agree with on it. So you may not agree with them, that's fine. But you can still learn some things. And there are some things that are just non-negotiable. They are written in stone, and that's the way it is. Right? But you go there, the stuff there about that. I'll tell you what. The seven, the four horsemen, ISIS, and the second coming of Jesus, that's one article you need to read. The seven trumpets, Islam, Russia, and the World War III, that's another one. The U.S. is not Mystery Babylon, that's another one. That's a must at this time. And then I've shared that some of the dreams, prophetic dreams and visions and prophetic words that the Lord's given me there on there too. So, and I've shared some that are not for me as well, like pastors over in Georgia and other people, David Wilkerson, different people that have been there. So, anyway, if you want to, catch up for some of our people that have been here, they know this stuff. If you're new, we have new listeners to all the time, so check those things out. They're free. It's free. Yeah. Does everybody all the time. So I'm certainly not in this for fame or money. So knock yourself out. All right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the word. We thank you for the truth that you have not left us, Lord, without knowing not only what's happened in the past, but what's going to happen. I thank you, God, that you do that. You reveal the end from the beginning to prove who you are, to prove that your Bible, your scriptures, truly are from you. You moved upon men to write that they wrote. We thank you for that, God, that we have the scriptures. We thank you that we have the Holy Spirit. And we thank you that we can, through faith, and what Jesus did on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, that he lived a sinless life and paid for our sins, and that we can come to you through Jesus and be forgiven, washed, cleansed of our sins, and saved from eternity in hell, from eternal damnation. We can be saved and have hope of eternal life in heaven. You've also promised, Lord, that the meek, those who follow you, will inherit the earth as well. That you will return to this place and you will begin to heal it and fix it. We thank you that the earth will always be, and heaven will always be, and you will always be. Father, I ask you to touch your people, bless them. God, be with Donald Trump, the people who will be in Cleveland this week for the convention. God, be with the police officers, those trying to maintain security and safety for people. God, put your angels round about. Be a hedge, be a shield. Be merciful to our nation, even in the midst of judgment and wrath. We pray for your mercy. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Now, before we go today, let's stand that last song again. Let's do it before we leave. If you have a tithe or an offering you're going to give back there, just throw it in the basket. We're going to do this song and then we'll be dismissed.
You're just a
6:30. God bless.